Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You are listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, with Scott and Maria. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. Our phone number here at the station is area code 760-337-8874. And always, we have podcasts at KXORadio.com. In case, you know, you probably missed one of our shows, you can always access it. I know we have some loyal listeners out there.
Right. Well, the other thing, you know, the other thing is community information, because once those shows are out, and we have lots of people, like just like today, for example, we have people coming from the community sharing really nice stuff that's going on in the community. You can share that once you've heard the show and you're talking to your vecino or whatever. You know, you could just say, yo, you know what? They were talking about that today on the radio, and you know, I know where it's, you know, it's not gone forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because radio used to be, you know, in one ear and out the other, literally. It's at KXORadio.com. Let's click here. You can walk them through the clicks, and there it is.
We have tons of information, a lot of resources. We've had guests like the Rosina from Bermudez from the Imperial Family Treehouse. We had Department of Social Services. We've had people from Calexico talk about access, independent living. So
The nurturing parenting people from Office of Education. That was a good show.
There's a lot of services.
So jump back in, catch our greatest hits, and Mario takes out all this boring in-between stuff that we do to fill time. So,
our engineer.
Executive producer.
Oh, Mario executive Spinoza. Producer slash engineer slash everything. Mil usos.
So good he turns down NPR on a regular basis. So we're lucky to have him. Okay, welcome to the show today. Right. It sounds good, though, isn't it? It's made for good listening. Hey, we got IVROP in the house. Imperial Valley Regional Occupational Program. You know, you're one of the more named. We're here with Luis Torres. He's a program manager.
Mm-hmm.
You're one of the more names, I think, in the county. I think when people say IVROP, there isn't much hesitation between, like, what's that stand for? Whereas, like, with lots of acronyms, it's...
Everybody, a lot of people know about Project ACE.
Yes, you guys are pretty popular, huh?
Yeah, well, good morning, everybody. Well,
IVROP has been around for a long time. So, and I think it's known in the community not because of the classes, but of all the different programs. There's things for vets, there's things for married couples, there's things for children. So there's so many different programs that I think it reaches to just about any community out there, any special populations.
We're so starved for jobs in Imperial Valley that it's like wherever you look, you can find program specialties to help. Because there's always going to be a need for jobs, and there's always going to be special populations.
Right, and one of the things they used to focus on was youth programs, so especially job training programs. So you offer any job training programs here in the Valley, and you're going to be pretty popular. And that's how we started, actually. Project A started as just a youth work training program about 13 years ago. And
wow.
About
were you there?
I was there, yes. Yeah, I just dated myself, right? So, and now, like six, 7 years ago.
You don't look at it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I used to date myself, but then I got a restraining order.
Oh, good one. Well, now, six, 7 years ago, we work only with foster youth. Ages 16 to 21.
So it's gone from youth to foster youth.
To foster youth, yes. We used to work with, in the beginning we were a partnership with CalWORKS. So we used to work with children of CalWORKS participants.
Okay.
And that's how it started.
We're nearing the age of whatever.
That's high school age.
Yes.
And then now we made that transition to foster youth and former foster youth. And every year we change our services. We try to kind of tailor them so they fit perfectly with youth. We get their input. And
former foster youth forever? I mean, you know, I'm 50 years old. I come back and say, "Yo, foster youth."
I'm a foster youth.
Hook me up.
Technically, we're supposed to. Well, we have the bigger program goes up to 21.
Okay.
That's our funding only allows for that.
Right.
We do have another small program. It's a housing program that goes up to the age of 24. However, one of the reasons, and we were just talking off the air about this, our fundraisers. We do our fundraisers to help youth who are over 21, 24, and they can come back pretty much if they ever need assistance, emergency assistance.
It takes you until you're 24 to figure it out, maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or maybe not.
And most of the times it does. You know, I think most of people who have kids, they, you know,
developmentally appropriate.
They still have their kids there at the house, and they're 24, 25, and 26, maybe, 27, 28. And, you know.
I had my daughter at 36, and I wasn't even ready.
And I moved and I changed my address when my kids got that age, so.
So it's not really fair to say tell anybody, hey, you know what, at 18 or
I went
at 21,
into a witness
you're ready.
Protection
yeah.
program.
So that's how it goes.
If my voice sounds familiar, it ain't me, okay? Just saying.
But, you know, with we've had a really good collaboration between IVRP Project ACE and Behavior Health. And we have a special link because we have the MHSA programs. And in the MHSA programs, one of the things is to have peer supporters. And our two wonderful peer supporters that we have, Gloria and Jessica, both came from Project ACE. And
right.
Luis recommended them, and we are so happy. We are so blessed to have them in our programs. And they are such good workers. They just go out there and do the work and work with our clients, with our population. They're actually our coworkers. You know, they're peer supporters, but they're our coworkers. We right. see them as, you know, our equal.
Right. We're very proud of them, how they're doing and how they've took the job and then just gone with it because, you know, we've known them since they were young and we always remind them, hey, I remember when you were small and trying to be funny all the time and things like different things. And now they're all growing up and with families maybe and their own cars.
And much less funny, frankly.
They're
nice kids.
So, yes, you know, so that's great. And thank you guys for giving them that opportunity.
What do you do for foster youth? How does this work? Do you just, like, here's your job kind of gift-wrapped in your lap, or do you look at the skill base and build stuff? How's this?
No, we do job training. There have been some recent cuts in funding, so we don't do the actual work experience.
I don't like to hear that. So, I mean, these are necessary services.
Yeah. But you know what? We have more partnerships. So now we partner up with the One Stop. And so what we do is we prepare our students for that, and then we refer them to the One Stop where they get the work training. So we make it work somehow. So what we do is, because foster youth at the age of 18, it used to be, it's changing this year, but I'll explain that later, is that sometimes they're expected to go out on their own.
Right. Age out of the system.
Age out of the system.
You're no longer, you know, you're no longer a minor. You're 18. You're an adult. Okay, bye.
Exactly. So what they are expected maybe to do is go get their own apartment with the assistance of social services and us and get their own apartment, pay their bills, go to school, manage everything. And so we have to keep, basically that's our main concern, so we prepare them for that.
It's theoretically impossible for 18-year-olds to do that, right?
Pretty much. It's been done, but it's really hard.
Like Michael Jordan, maybe.
A lot of bumps in the road.
Yeah,
for
but
sure.
For them it's harder because, you know, for some of the kids, they have both their parents, they're supportive, and even as you turn 18, it's still hard. Even if you have both of your parents and your family and brothers,
you had all
sisters,
the gifts, it's still
and
really hard.
And it's still hard.
Yeah,
and it's still hard.
But the hardest thing is the lack of safety net. Most people sometimes are like, it's not a big deal. I went to college. I was 17, 18. I was on my own. The biggest thing is that you have a safety net.
Yeah, you have your mom and dad.
If it doesn't work out, you fall back. You go to your parents. Or even after you graduate from college.
Although that's
you
really
know, you go back.
Uncool. Right. Mm-hmm. The whole right. uncool thing would have kept me away from that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Safety net.
So, you know, so that's pretty hard. So we prepare them with life skills classes. We talk to them about credit, cooking, healthy living, how to be a good shopper. How to maximize their money, save their money, and
that's
start
right
credit,
now.
And all these. We have to cover just about everything, and then we also, of course, focus on them graduating from high school first. Mm-hmm. Then we talk to them about career planning. So pretty much we cover all bases when we work with our youth.
No question, I don't think, that every single foster youth in the whole Imperial Valley world could benefit from that degree of support as they enter into the, you know, early adulthood, as it were, transitional age youth.
Right. Yeah.
How do you make sure you
population.
Get them all? How do you let no stone go unturned and make sure that all these kids walk into your program? Do you have a vacuum cleaner? Do you like?
How do we get everybody?
Yeah. I don't think any foster kids want to miss this.
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, we're with IVROP, we're stationed at social services.
Okay.
To improve the communications between social services and us. Social services, of course, funds our program. And we have close ties with the social worker, so we get everybody who is eligible.
Perfect.
We get a referral.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
So there's, and then we also try to keep communication because we also work with probation youth who have been placed in group homes out of county. Those are technically considered foster youth, as long as they were in a group home over the age of 16.
Mm-hmm. Is outreach and engagement an issue? Because you've got this young adult population who, I don't really need any more adults in my life.
Yes. That is an issue.
Yeah, that's an issue.
Yeah, it's always going to be an issue. But we always keep inviting them to the classes until maybe at some point we're like, it's been a while. They haven't been to an activity. And sometimes they'll go, they'll stop, and then they'll come back, and we don't pressure anybody. Usually, if they need the help, they'll come around. And one of the things about being around for a while,
because pressure is probably not very engaging, right?
That's not very good for when you're working with teenagers.
They nag you, and that'll make it better, right?
So,
and I think that's a tough age because, like you said, all their life they were either placed at different homes, they were placed in foster youth. They probably wanted to stay with their parents and. It was not up to them. It was not their decision. And then they turned the magic 18, that they're an adult. And they say, that's it. I don't want anybody else telling me where to live. Basically, tell me anything. I've been told everything. A lot of things were taken away from me. I don't want.
Yeah.
So it's really a very hard. That's why we use our peer supporters.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So at 18, and that happens quite a bit at 18, or younger, and sometimes they'll come back when they're 20, and they got whatever they got out of the system, and then they come back, they're like, I really need some help now.
So that means that even though they might not accept it at 18, they can come back again. Right. They have an opportunity
to
come back.
Up to 21. But like I said earlier, we never turn our back on anybody. Sometimes we have a 22, 24-year-old that comes back and they're like, now I really want to change and things like that. And we try to link them to the right programs. We never tell a 22, 25-year-old, like, it's too late for you. I can't do anything for you.
You should have figured this out 5 years ago, mijo.
Exactly. We try to link them to, if not with us, it's like we try to help them with job search.
Mm-hmm.
We have youth who are 25, 26. They'll come to our office to do a resume. It's like, can you help me update my resume? Can you help me do this application here? We still help them out. And if there's a program out there that they might qualify for, or like a training or things like that, we link them. So we help them no matter how old they are.
So the key is basically making a relationship with them in your referral window when they're 16 to 18 or whenever they start referring through your program.
What age is it?
That's the best case scenario.
What is the age?
16.
16?
Yes, it's 16. So the best case scenario, you start working with them, you help build that base of life skills, and then you go from there.
Because there's not some sort of coordinated referral system after they've had the chance to jump ship, basically.
Exactly.
Then they have to come back on their own.
Pretty much so. I mean, the only one that follows up with them after the age of 18 is us. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're like, remember this person? Let's see if we can get a hold of them or something like that.
About how many engage versus how many disengage? I mean, it's a weird data question. I'm sorry, I'm a nerd. So you've got like 100 kids, 16 years old, coming through the system, foster kids. How many of those kids stick or get some sort of tangible participation benefit from your program? It may not be a job, but it may be something, versus disappear when they turn 18.
I think the majority of the foster youth do participate in the program. I wouldn't be able to give you specific numbers right now, but I think the majority, it's always been a small number that don't want to do it.
Good.
I think we try to...
Small number sounds like less than 25%.
I would say so. I would say so, because I think we made our classes sometimes... They're educational, but we do try to keep them light, and sometimes they like to socialize, and we do.
Who thought?
They do.
That's
like...
That's very important.
Well, because they haven't seen each other. Sometimes we get students from different cities. They're like, so they see each other once every 2 weeks or every week in our classes, and so they, they catch up.
Well, and they're relationship shopping, right? So
yeah, that might be it. So... So it's they keep coming back. They want to go to activities, and every once in a while we'll sneak in a fun activity that keeps them engaged and so forth. And then the work experience, we use that as sort of an incentive. Like if they, you know, they do good in our program, we will link them to a job training program.
Well, and you can talk to our peer coordinators. They're having a blast at work,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean,
yes.
Every day is a fun day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with one of the things I worked with them, too, is that they were there, I think, when we had our work experience component. Mm-hmm. And so they worked quite a bit. I mean, off the top of my head, I think they worked like 2-3 jobs before they graduated from high school.
Wow.
So as you can see, you mm-hmm. see the results is that they have the skills.
Vocational maturity.
Exactly. There you go.
Show up on time, mm-hmm. don't call in sick, and when the boss says
you know
do
what?
Something,
they're
do
They're always
it.
There yeah. unless they're sick. Yeah. They're always there
yeah.
and on time.
So they're very experienced in how to get along with people in an office or in a business
mm-hmm.
and so forth. So and it worked out, and I think that's part of the reason why they're such good workers.
And you know, one of them drives a nicer car than mine. So there you go.
There you go.
Luis, can we like your Facebook page? I mean, have you used social media to engage the youth and kind of keep
yes.
them connected?
Yeah, definitely. We have our Facebook, and it's a great tool to keep everybody engaged. Sometimes
Project ACE or IVROP, or how do I find it?
I believe IVROP Project ACE. And we connect with youth. Sometimes foster youth move out of county, and we have students will move to San Diego or so forth, and we keep, you know, our close ties with them. Sometimes we have youth who graduate and then join the army, and they're in Iraq, Afghanistan. And through Facebook, we're able to communicate with them.
Nice.
And I follow up, oh, how's everything? And then sometimes some people get out of the service, and they're looking for work, and they'll still contact us through Facebook or questions about whether it's financial aid or do you still have my resume? Mm-hmm. Can you send it to me?
Well,
things like that.
You know, not to go tangential into social media, but that's exactly what Facebook was created for the four-year experience of college that mm-hmm. brought people together, and then they dispersed all over the place.
Exactly.
Facebook gave them a platform not only to engage while they were mm-hmm. there, but to stay engaged after college. So, you know, that's
exactly.
kind of what it was made for.
Yeah, so it's great. And you'd be surprised. As we have the way our students prefer mm-hmm. to communicate, it's we always say Facebook, it's number one. Texting will be two. Emails will be, and phone calls will be. This
the last
four.
Are you guys on Twitter yet?
No, we're not.
Watch out. Twitter's going to sweep all that stuff mm-hmm. away. It to some extent, it already has. I mean,
yeah.
it had
right.
its moment, and it got cool, and then people, you know, some people don't like it, but a lot of people, you know, tech-savvy people who
well,
are...
I don't have
a
Twitter account. Mm-hmm. I don't have a Facebook.
I'm not sure. I'll have to see if our students are on Twitter.
Are tweeting.
Yeah.
People with smartphones, it's a pretty quick way to communicate to a group, whereas texting is kind of a one-to-one thing.
Exactly. So I'll have to look into that. Thank you.
Or Google Plus.
Google Plus.
Using a Google Plus group to
right.
grab people together.
He knows all about it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Well, one of the things with our students is usually they're still struggling, even though they're at that age where everybody's struggling. I mean,
well, smartphones cost, you know, $100 and some odd a month, right?
Yeah. You know, sometimes although they have their month-to-month bills, and sometimes they'll have a cell phone, and next month they don't, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, and
but
I'm impressed
computer,
with young adults.
There's
Facebook,
there's
yeah,
more access to
right,
computers.
Because if they lost their cell phone service for that month, they can at least at some point go on, log on the computer and check their Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm impressed with young adults' ability to manage to include technology money in their monthly bills in ways that we never did, you know, when it wasn't as important.
Exactly. I'm surprised about that, too.
You're carrying $200 a month in tech charges here, and that doesn't seem to be an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, the usual bills are too expensive, but locally there's some really affordable
or pay
internet.
As you go.
Or pay as you go, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, as long as you got a really good phone. I mean, that's the
yeah.
whole key
yeah.
here.
Exactly. So,
for people who want IVROP stuff, where do they go? If you got foster youth who are hearing the show today, or if somebody sent them to KXL Radio to hear the podcast talking in the future in a couple of weeks,
yeah.
Where do these ex-foster kids go to come back and find you guys?
They can give us a call at 760-337-3096, and they can also just send us a message on through our Facebook page, and they can give us a call. Let us know, even if they think, like, you know what, I think I know somebody who's eligible, and I'm not sure if they qualify. They can give us a call, and we can get their information, and we can find out if they qualify and try to link them to the right services.
if they say they heard about it on Let's Talk About It, can they have like a free month of cell phone coverage or something?
Yes.
Mm. No. Whoa, really? No. Wow.
He said it. So you say you heard it on Let's Talk About It, and Luis will hook you up. All right.
So yeah, so just give us a call, send us a message, and then we'll get started.
Thank you, sir. Okay, top of the hour, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to do something special. We're going to talk to one of the youth who's been in Project ACE, talk about her experiences and what that's been like for her.
And then we're also going to talk about other services that Project ACE provides.
Yeah, okay, and we'll come back and then do a little Luis time at the end to wrap it up and make the show.
Okay.
So let's talk about it, sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. We'll be right back after this moment.
You're listening to the complete podcast version of Imperial County's Behavioral Health Service, Let's Talk About It, brought to you by KXORadio.com.
Welcome back. You're still listening to your weekly wellness radio for Let's Talk About It for Imperial and Mexicali Valleys. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. And our phone number here at the station is area code 760-337-8874.
Yeah, she's got a resonance to her voice that is cool. So the intro song guy was playing at Coachella this year? That's
his son.
His son. Oh, way cool. You know, you should have gone backstage and said, you know, I had a talk show radio executive producer, and we use your... No, they would have wanted royalties.
What are you talking about?
The intro song, his son was playing at Coachella this year.
Okay.
And he opened up with a song that we use to open up our show.
Oh, okay.
So we should have gone up on stage, like, halfway through the song, right?
No, because then he's going to want to get some royalties or something, you know, forget it.
Right.
It's a live show.
So it's never, except for the podcast. Never. Oh, do you? Nice. Way to FCC things. Good job. Executive producer. Executive producer. Here we go. Okay. We have a show. That's right. We are. Let's Talk About It. 337-8874 is the phone number. We're here with Sylvia Valenzuela. And Sylvia Valenzuela is a FFY. Yo. Former foster youth. Right?
Right.
And you're a participant in Project ACE, which we've been talking to Luis in the first half of the show about, you know, his IVROP, Regional Occupation Program projects. And this is one of those projects, Project ACE. So, what's it like?
Well, first of all, you're 16, right? You're 16. Did they approach you, or how did Project ACE sound to you?
At first, I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. I didn't know there was things like that.
Did they stalk you? Was this like a recruitment effort, or
no?
And give you a flyer and said, you know, whenever.
The foster home I was in, some of the girls were in there, so I wanted to know what it was about. So,
abusing peer pressure, beautiful.
Mm. Positive.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's how I found out about it and got into it.
At 16?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was 15 or 16, too.
And what did you do there?
At first, classes. Girl workshops.
Make flavored Play-Doh and eat it?
No.
What kind of stuff?
No, it was girl workshops about like manicures, how to do manicures, and just talking about like girl stuff.
So, what it's like to be a young woman growing up in that kind of stuff?
Hard.
Well, yeah, like being a young teenage woman and having to kind of get out in the world and be a person.
Really hard because I had a baby. So.
Wow.
And well, now I have two. So.
Congratulations.
I
was a baby once. I'm totally down with
people being babies. How old are your babies? Are your kids?
I have a son who's 3 years old, and I have a daughter who's 4 months.
Oh, wow. Mm.
I had two consecutive children. That's a blast, isn't it? I bet you're really happy to be here at the show and have little kids running around all morning, huh? You should enjoy your downtime.
Yeah.
So you were trying to do Project ACE and be a foster youth in the middle of
being a mom.
Raising a baby.
Mm.
That is hard.
How was that? Yeah.
Tough. While I was pregnant, I kind of needed something to get off my mind, since all I wanted to do was be with the father and be with his family. So, like, workshops helped me, like, get out of the home and do something outside.
Did that end up working out or no?
Yeah.
And the baby daddy? Is
mm-hmm.
he still around?
Yeah.
I noticed you called him the father. That was kind of a good sign. That was kind of an encouraging sign. Good. Well, and congratulations. That's cool, too.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So what you learned, okay, you were 16, you learned about, you know, manicures and taking care of yourself, mm-hmm. right? And then what else? What other classes did you participate?
I did work experience also. Mm-hmm. So I did that.
Where was that at, the work experience?
At Allstate.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
That was my first work experience job. So, and ever since then, I found out that I like doing office jobs. So mm-hmm. That's what I like doing. And we've done programs like life skills. I remember they would show us like rent-wise what they would give us a paper and give us examples what we would want and how much it would cost, and we would add up the total, and we find out if we want a cable and a cell phone and like extra things like going out to eat, going to the movies, that it costs a lot more, and that they give us an income, and we found out that it's not like our income, so we had to cut down on like telephone and stuff like that.
And that's important. It's important because
you
will see.
Did you include the baby costs?
No, yeah, no. And that's important because you will realize that, you know, as people who are adults and people who go into school or have a career or college, they messed up big time when the housing bubble burst. You know, everybody wanted to get the huge house, and they paid really big, you know, for the house, and you know, they're doing the financial papers.
We
and
all
they
wanted
did,
to be cool
no,
like everyone else.
And they
we thought that
and
was
they
bad.
Signed for variable interest or interest-only payments. And then, you know, interest, you know, just
ouch.
Everything, you know, their payments was going to be $2,000 a month. And then that grace period ended with
$4,000.
And then
they bought like really big SUVs with the money that they got off of it.
Of the house. They took that money out of the house. And so, yeah, it's life skills
when
is
your
a very
house is
important.
Your credit card.
Yeah, it's very important life skills. I mean, you what you learned at Project ACE, use it because, you know, all these, like I said.
Of course, those days are over. You'll never get credit.
No,
you'll have to work till you're 80. Don't worry.
But, yeah, what I'm saying is that all those, you know, people that, you know, were adults and bought houses and you know, had careers and everything, everybody, you know, it's not.
Quite a few
anything
people
could
still
happen.
Digging out from that
yeah,
one,
every,
huh?
Everybody was affected, and it was just, you know, lost their homes, lost their cars, were repossessed, credit card was shot. So it's so important, and I tell people, you know, if I don't have the cash, I can't afford it. Even though you might have a credit card.
You know, but it's a great conversation starter. I mean, for those of us who are older and have homes, we can say, I live in the Imperial Valley, which is like 43 feet below sea level, and my house is underwater.
Literally.
Which means, like, it's not worth what you owe.
Oh, no. Oh,
so, hi, yeah, welcome back, Sylvia. We're back from our middle-aged
yeah,
housing
moment. I know. But, no, those are the skills that you've learned. And are you been using them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Trying to budget everything, especially having kids.
Yeah.
Are you working now, or?
Well, actually, I'm going to banking and financing classes.
Nice.
I used to work at a bank.
Speaking of budgets and underwater and mortgages and all that
I have
stuff,
to learn huh? about all of that.
Yeah, I used to work at the bank and I did loans, actually.
I worked at the bank and I took out loans. So the circle of life. What do you want to do in banking? Any goals there?
I'm torn between a teller and a receptionist.
Nice.
So we're learning about every type of department. So.
And with these classes, you should be able to find work more easily. It's going to look good on a resume. Mm-hmm.
Especially eventually, I want to move out of the Imperial Valley, so if I move somewhere else, it'll be easier to get a job.
What?
Banking and finance.
We're not good enough here. It's not fun here. The weather's not
the weather's
good.
The weather's great. Right now.
Why do you want to leave?
To get out of the valley. I don't know. And my family, my parents, they live in San Diego, so I'd be closer
you
to
you. Remember the Lion King? Remember when they, like, held the little lion up over the valley?
Mm-hmm.
That was a valley. This is it. This is the valley of the Lion King. This is. There's no world outside of this world. You can doubt it. Whatever.
Whatever.
Where do you want to go?
San Diego.
San Diego.
San Diego?
Beautiful.
Yeah, weather's nice.
I know.
Rent's high. Weather's nice. Lots of stuff to do. Good, good.
And I have Section 8, so it'll be easy. Like, not easy, but the rent won't be as as high.
That's true. So have you got some, sounds like you've actually made some plans to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you, is that part of what IVROP does for you? Do they help with stuff like that?
Learn to be independent and be on your own and learn to juggle all these different things, you know, your kids' needs and your work, you're going to classes and being able to manage the budget and
where do you want to live as a grown-up? I mean, that's an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can say that, and Project ACE helps you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And you can always come back. You know, you're 20, and, you know, like Luis said, you know, up to the age of 24, maybe a little bit, yeah. If necessary.
So, Sylvia, for all the foster youth out there, would you say that Project ACE is a difference maker and there's no way they should ever turn this down and walk away from it?
Yeah, it is a difference maker.
It's a big deal, isn't mm-hmm. it?
Yeah, it is. They should go. They should come try it out. It's really, really helpful. I think so.
If they say that they heard it on Let's Talk About It, will you give them free stuff?
No.
No. No free stuff. Only
you're
for
already
the
savvy.
I jump on that and I go, no. Maybe free stuff in ways, you know, for the participants there in the program. You know, so.
Great.
But with Luis, I know I was looking here at this great, you know, book here, folder, with a lot of services.
Okay, it's a pamphlet.
No. Yeah, but it's a lot of stuff. You know, this Youth Finance Network car program. You know, a lot of kids, they turn 16, and, you know, they want to learn how to drive, or they want to get
a
car.
Yeah, that's the first step.
You know, the independence, because of independence, you know, the independence of getting your car and going, you know, just, no, Scott, not that.
Bouncing.
But, you know, how is that program still in existence? Because I know that funding, you know, always, you know, the type of programs that we have, we survive on the type of funding.
One of the things I forgot to mention is actually before that is we help our students also get their license. Mm-hmm. A lot of teenagers these days are not getting their license. And soon after graduation, we help them with linking in with a class. We get the instructor, they come to the class, they take the driving test, and then they go behind the wheel. We even set them up with behind the wheel training if necessary.
Do you give them a wheel to get behind?
Exactly.
So you actually give physically provide them with a car necessary to take their
driving test? No, not really, but the trainer will show up in their car and they practice, and hopefully we try to link them. For the most part, somebody has
a car that they'll loan them.
Yeah. And Sylvia here actually just forgot to mention, she just, you know, hopefully she did all of that and she has her license and everything.
Oh.
But, you know, I think a lot of, without us pushing some of these teenagers, I don't think they would get their license. Mm-hmm. And the next stage about after that is the car program. Funding has been a little bit tighter. That's why we do our fundraisers, where we do drawing fundraisers.
And who buys a lot of tickets?
You know, we want to thank all the amazing people at Behavior Health. And
yay!
Of course,
so
IVROP and
you
social
guys do
services.
Raffles, right? I mean, raffles are a big part of that.
We prefer the term drawing.
I'm sorry.
Yes, drawing.
Drawing's like piece of paper, pencil.
No, it's a drawing.
It's a drawing.
You draw a number.
And so we usually have some fun prizes, where like a Kindle Fire, you know, plasma TV, Xbox 360, things like that.
And pretty much word of mouth to get those out? Or?
Exactly. We depend on the community, all these agencies to help us out. And
you throw it up on Facebook?
We do not put it on Facebook. We found out that our students don't have the money to really help us out that much, but our students help us selling them. We tell our students to go sell 10. If each student sells, you know, 5 to 10 tickets, the agencies help us out, and then our friends help us out, and, you know, we do okay. We used to do more, and we're gonna get into this year doing more, so that not only with that money we do scholarship, we give out scholarships to former foster youth going to college, whether it's here or if it's in San Diego and Cal Poly, wherever it is, we help them with scholarships. We also help them with emergency assistance. Somebody shows up and is like, this happened, I lost my job, I can't pay the rent. You know, maybe we look into that.
So non-categorical funding, basically. Mm-hmm. Things that didn't fit in mm-hmm. established cracks
exactly.
where there's needs,
yeah.
because young people mm-hmm. have those needs.
Yeah. And then the costliest thing that we used to do more is is we do a match program. We have a match program, what we call our CAR program. Our YFN is our financial training program. They do that. They learn how to, you know, about checks, banking, and all these things, saving, credit. And then we help them with that. And basically, we depend on them saving money, and we'll match a certain portion of that in the
nice.
To help
Where
them buy a car.
When I was growing up.
So if let's say they have about $2,000 saved up, you'll match the two? Or
well, no, it's only percentage. I wish I could say that we have
dollar-for-dollar match.
The donations. And because our fundraisers, you know, we have a certain amount of profit. Mm-hmm. I think if we were in a larger city and we had, like, major corporations giving donations, we'd be able mm-hmm. to afford something like that. That would be my dream. But we have to shrink it down, and we match, I think it's 25%.
Do you guys go
savings.
Out and talk mm-hmm. to the local businesses and stuff?
We try, yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Unfortunately, though, like, you know, these days it's tougher. We have our hands full with our students and our activities and so forth. So, honestly, sometimes, most of the time, we don't have time to go around and go business
to
business.
But that's something that, you know, as a community, it's something that we need to contribute. Mm. They are, you know, they're foster youth. Yeah. These are our future.
Yeah.
You know, so if we can provide them with services, mm-hmm. you know, we don't want to be, you know, impact them, their life to get impacted negatively. You know, we want to provide them with services and help them because, you know, like I've said it before, it takes a village to raise a child.
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, imagine catching a bus to a job interview on a 105 degree day.
Exactly.
You're already a leg down on everybody else because,
you know, you're going to go into IVC.
Show up all sweaty and dusty.
Every
and
day. Taking mm-hmm. it, or there's certain times the bus doesn't go around.
Well, yeah,
in
no,
certain areas there's no
for
bus
4 hours,
yeah. so forth. So you know, we're gonna start doing more fundraisers, and we do have some, you know, bigger donations. You know, the people at Walmart and Calexico have always been amazing with their donations. And
what about here?
We hope other companies will
Walmart,
join them and give
El Centro.
Some.
Hello.
And we're gonna start.
Brawley.
So hopefully, if anybody's listening, and or you know somebody with a business, small business, anybody wants to give a small donation or a big donation, that'd be great. Just give us a call, 337-3096. Ask for me, Luis, and you know we can hopefully work something out.
If they say you heard it on Let's Talk About It, will you charge them double?
Yes.
It'd be nice to support the community. So what other stuff do you have going on right now? Up and around Project ACE, events coming up, anything?
We have, we also have, I just want to mention the other program, small program that I alluded to earlier is the THP Plus program, which is a housing program. Transitional Housing Program Plus. And that's for former foster youth between the ages of 18 to 24. We only get a small portion of that, so we're able to help 5 youth here in Imperial County. And basically, we help them with rent, utilities, and everything you can think of.
So it's like Section 8 for the Section 8 non-applicable people.
Well, I like to think of it more of a big scholarship because it's not just like we're going to help you with all your bills for 2 years.
There are housing supports for some people, and other mm-hmm. people don't have access to those supports just because their situation is different.
Most housing programs are just like, okay, you need the help, we're going to give you the help.
Right.
We make them do some things. They have to work and go to school. In other words, it's a 2-year program. The idea is that after those 2 years...
You guys are worse than my parents.
Yes.
That's kind of the model, isn't
yeah.
it?
No, yeah.
That is, yeah. Well, we have requirements, or like you have to go to school, you have to go to training.
Yeah.
And after those 2 years, you have a certificate, you have a degree, you can get a well-paying job and pay your own rent after that.
So you pay the rent for 2 years as long as they're
we
doing...
We pay a percentage of the rent. They start paying more and more and more as the months go by. By around the end of the program, they're paying, you know, a big chunk of their rent, and we pay the rest. So slowly they're learning how to pay their own bills and so forth. So it's not like a 2-year free ride.
Do you guys sit down with the income then and kind of figure out how the steps are going to, what the steps are going to look like, and
exactly.
how that's going to
Yeah, go. We show them that, and we around at some point they figure out, like, you know what, I think I need to move into a more affordable place. They do learn especially the value of a dollar. Some of them are like, you know what, I can't afford this place. I thought I was going to be able to afford this place. I need to move into something
so
smaller.
So the idea of transitional housing isn't to give somebody a house in between a stage.
Yeah.
It's to transition them into being independent
exactly.
in their housing.
Right. And so, you know, I think it's working out good, and our students are responding well to it. And so that's the other program
have. You got kids, right? You got kids?
I don't have kids. I'm sorry.
But you're going to do this when you have them.
I hope
it sounds like a really good idea for any parent to have this kind of stair-step way of helping people get independent.
You know, what I see in this program, I could see, like, you know, I don't know why other parents don't do this. You know, whether, you know, making them learn the value of a dollar.
Let's sit down and figure out where you're at, and then I'll take a piece of it now, and as long as you're doing everything, I'll keep my piece together, and gradually you'll take it over, and after a certain amount of time, you'll be ready to do it.
Because eventually they're going to be on their own. And you don't want
or
them...
Or they're going to be stuck in your basement.
No, exactly. Yeah. And you don't want them to be coming back to your house when they're, you know, in their 30s.
Well, then, on the THP Plus, by the way, we do... It's full right now, but we have a waiting list. So if anybody out there in the community knows anybody, former foster youth between the ages of 18 to 24, and they want to fill out an application, be on the waiting list, you know, they can give us a call also. The other thing I wanted to talk about is I want to make sure the community knows that it used to be that foster youth at 18 would go out on their own. That's changing this year. There's a new law that was passed. It was AB 12, and foster youth are going to be able to stay in foster care up to 21 if they want to. Mm-hmm. They can opt out, but they can also
can the foster parents opt out?
They can also opt out. No. Mm-hmm. They can stay with a foster parent. They can stay with a relative or things like that. But it's also kind of like a contract, like THP Plus. They do have to be going to school. They do have
with
to be going to work.
Terms and conditions.
There's conditions.
The social worker goes.
It's not like they're
out.
Just going to be hanging out for three
and
more
in
years.
In this case, then, the state maintains the levels of support to the foster parent, which goes down to the youth, basically room and board.
Yes. So that's great. That's starting, and everybody's learning about it because it just started, and we're all learning as we go. And
then you can teach us after you learn it.
Exactly.
I've been to conferences, and they're talking about it. I'm like, what? There's a lot of conditions, you know, this and that, and it just...
Sometimes you think you have it all figured out, and then you come back, and there's something else.
So you got a program that ends up giving $500 a month to the youth, but... Because it's so complex, it requires like $2,000 of administrative costs to make sure that it's all like documented correctly. Sorry.
So hopefully it'll turn out as a good thing. I think it will. You know, so schools will have options.
No, and it's good because, like I said, you know, at 18, you know, it's still. I mean, there a lot of kids are not ready to be on their own and not independently. They want to be independent, but they just don't have the skills. They don't have the, like you said, the safety net.
Exactly. Yeah, who has those skills at 18? I mean, and I always refer to myself, and when I'm talking to these students about the mistakes that I made, when I'm talking about credit, I tell them, look, I got those credit cards when I was 18. And, of course, I wasn't ready for them, and I maxed them out, and I owe the money and things like that. So, you know, nobody's ready.
I thought that was like a coming-of-age thing.
You know, it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be.
But it is.
Yeah.
It's like your first speeding ticket or something. It's exactly. Like, oh, if I do this, this happens.
Yeah, most of the people don't learn about getting your credit report until you're really grown up. And we're teaching these guys at 16, 18 these things, skills that I think they're going to work out for them.
Yeah. My young adult kids manage their credit report like you know, like fund managers or something.
And really?
Yeah, I kicked it up another 20 points. I'm like,
hey,
congratulations.
Yeah. That's great.
It's the standards we measure ourselves by.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you know, but that's the AB 12 is the new thing.
You know, one of the things it's funny that they did that because I think anyone who's been around the foster care system any length of time is aware of families that basically did this out of the kindness of their hearts. So 18-year-olds, you know, had developed a close bond with the foster family. The foster family developed a close bond with the kid. It was clear that they needed to do this. And so basically, the kid would basically stay with the foster parents, and the foster parents would end up eating the cost of that, you know, out of the kindness of their hearts. And it was sometimes painful when everybody wanted to do that, and there's just no means to do it with.
Like for this new law, so let's say that it just passed today. And like for Sylvia, does that mean that she's still in the system, or is it only for kids who are, you know, 17 and?
It's
not
only for 18-year-olds.
Okay.
From now on.
So it doesn't grandfather back to 21.
No, all 18 and younger.
Okay.
So that's unfortunately. But, you know, there's other programs, like I said, luckily, you know, she's able to participate in our other program.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's going to be, I guess the older ones are going to say that that's not fair. I wish that was there when I was there.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's not for everyone.
Yeah. But some people are gonna opt out. We're talking about how
and it's voluntary, right?
Yes, it's voluntary. Or we're talking about how some youth feel about some programs and things like that. I could see, you know, a good chunk of them also saying, that's it, I'm out
of
here.
And some foster parents. I mean, it's not always like, wow, I spent 6 months with you. I totally want to spend the rest of my life with you. It's okay, we're done.
Can I say just one more thing? You mentioned foster parents.
You can say just one more.
Just this is going to be the last thing. Right?
No, you can go forever, man. It's your show.
No, well, I got two minutes.
Ooh. Executive producer, extra thing.
Ooh.
Foster parents is there's always a need for foster parents, especially for teenagers. So contact social services, child welfare, if you're interested in becoming a foster parent, especially for teenagers. A lot of times, maybe they have been getting more foster parents, and that's great. A lot of times, maybe people want to be a foster parent for a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old
because they're cuter.
And they think the teenagers got more issues and so forth. And so, you know, we work out.
Because they do.
All teenagers do.
Which is okay.
We were all young once. And so, you know, hopefully if you're interested and if you're on the fence about being a foster parent, do it. It's great. And
If you're even thinking about it being possible, then you're that special person that they need.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So,
and I know that next month is foster parent.
Yes.
Youth month.
So, you know, next anyways.
Month.
So, anyways, don't hesitate. If you only have questions, you can just call social services and ask them whatever reservations you might have.
If they say they heard it from Luis, did they get like a free T-shirt or something?
They get a shirt. Yes.
He always wants to throw that in.
Like he's incentives.
I'm kidding about the shirt.
There's research behind incentives.
You'll get. No, you know what? No, you'll get. Well, then Scott, you provide it.
Scott will provide the shirt.
Exactly. Scott told me that, you know.
Come to the radio station.
Yeah.
The next time I go to Salvation Army or Paredes, I'll get you a shirt. It's cool. It's on.
Just hook me up. There you go.
Exactly.
That'll totally
get
you.
But you know what? The benefits, what they'll get out of it is, you know what? They're giving this opportunity for this foster youth to, you know, become a member, you know, a community member, contributing, and might be the next doctor, might be the next lawyer, might be the next teacher, might be the greatest mom or dad.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, when we have a lot of our older students are working
everybody
in
has
business,
potential.
Banks,
yeah.
Social workers, mm-hmm. and so on and so on. So, you can definitely help out.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Luis, for coming on board today.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, Sylvia, for coming on board today.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.